Maya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 27. Attack by Chandavega on the city of Puranjana. Text 21. Kadachit Atamanasa Brahmalokan Mahim Gatam Vavre Brihad Vritang Mamtu Janati Kama Mohita Kadachit Atamanasa Brahmalokan Mahim Gatam Vavre Brihad Vritang Mamtu Janati Kama Mohita Kadachit Atamanasa Brahmalokan Mahim Gatam Vare Brihad Vritang Mamtu Janati Kama Mohita. Vaishnavis. Kadachit, once upon a time, Atamana, traveling, Sa, she, Brahmalokat, from Brahmaloka, the highest planet, Mahim, on the earth, Gatam, having come, Vavre, she proposed, Brihat Vratam, avowed Brahmachari. Mam, unto me, to then, Janati, knowing, Kama Mohita, being illusion by lust. Translation. Narada Muni is speaking. When I once came to this earth from Brahmalok, the highest planetary system. The daughter of time, wandering over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. Purport. The great sage Narada Muni was a naishtika brahmachari. That is, he never had sex life. He was consequently an evergreen youth. Old age, jara, could not attack him. The invalidity of old age can overcome an ordinary man, but Narada Muni was different. Taking Narada Muni to be an ordinary man, the daughter of time confronted him with her lusty desire. It requires great strength to resist a woman's attraction. It is difficult for old men, and what to speak of young. Those who live as brahmacharis must follow in the footsteps of the great sage Narada Muni, who never accepted the proposals of jara. Those who are too much sexually addicted become victims of jara, and very soon their lifespan is shortened. Without utilizing the human form of life for Krishna consciousness, the victims of jara die very soon in this world. Om Agana Tirmanandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. As you can see in this testimony by Narada Muni, things happen in this world, even to the greatest of personalities. Propositions come your way. You encounter strange things. You come across the crossroads. You have to decide how to handle a situation. We all hope for a simple life, a life free from perplexing situations and momentous decisions. We hope like that. But the way of this world, especially in Kali Yuga, is that there are so many intricacies and they're unexpected. We have a natural hope that there won't be chaos in our life, everything will go smoothly, and that we won't have to deal with unwieldy, uncomfortable situations. Yet, day after day after day, such situations are thrown upon us. And it can become a bit scary when we consider how we are just tiny jivas. How do we navigate through such a mad rushing river? Things thrown at us all the time. And if you make the wrong decision, you can really set yourself back. Not only in this lifetime, but for several lifetimes. So much is at stake. How to handle all this? Let's look at the example of Narada Muni. He's describing that he was traveling from Brahmalok, the highest planetary system, and the daughter of time crossed his path. She knew he was a staunch brahmachari. Nevertheless, kama mohita, being illusioned by lust, she proposed that Narada Muni interact with her. This is the way of material existence. You just don't know what will come across your path, but you have to be ready. Now, where is that training? Where is that education so that a spirit soul aspiring to revive dormant love of Krishna, where's that training and education so that the conditioned soul can become ready to handle whatever the material energy throws at you? Once again, we hope that our life will be smooth and devoid of complications, devoid of sticky situations in which you feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place. But these situations happen. Knowing that these situations are going to come our way, we should prepare in advance how to equip ourselves so that we can cross over all the tricky situations of life. Don't be naive. We should not be childish. There will be bumps in the road that we have to get across somehow. The amazing thing about the process of bhakti yoga is that it prepares you to handle any situation by teaching you how to depend on Krishna. Throughout the Shastra, there are so many intricate situations that devotees dealt with properly because of their spiritual potency in connection with Krishna. Yesterday, you heard in the purport about Yayati and how he had to handle Jara, the daughter of time. Shukracharya cursed Yayati. You've been engaging with others besides my daughter, and so now I curse you to prematurely become old. Yayati, you discussed this yesterday, pleaded with Shukracharya, I haven't yet fulfilled all my desires with your daughter. This is a problem. And Shukracharya indeed began to consider, I don't care so much about Yayati, but you know, my daughter, the father's pet, she has not fulfilled her material desires. Therefore, by my taking revenge on her husband, I'm also hurting her. I don't want to do that. So Shukracharya, being a clever Karmakandiya priest, came up with a brilliant solution. Okay, Yayati, you don't want this old age prematurely because you still want to enjoy. And you know that in old age, the body is no longer able to fulfill the desires of the mind. What you can do, you can transfer your old age to one of your sons and take your son's youth. Yayati turned to his sons to pose the question. I was speaking about this verse, about this Bhagavatam section of Yayati and his, how he had to deal with his curse to become prematurely old. I was speaking in India a couple of months ago about this. So I asked the Indian men present, because, you know, even still, in India, the tradition is very strong that the father's order must be carried out. Because the family unit is very much intact, there's great love and affection, reverence felt by the children for their parents. And generally, even now, the sons try to do what the father says. So I asked the young men in the audience, what would you do if your father asked that you give him your youth and you accept his old age? What would you do? Everyone kind of looked away, and no one would say, I would refuse, but everyone just kind of looked away. They were all silent, like, this is a real situation that Yayati's sons had to cope with. This is a sticky situation. So, Yadu, the oldest son, he refused. The question should be, why did Yadu refuse? Because actually to refuse the order of the father is irreligion. But what was Yadu thinking? Yadu was a first-class devotee. He was thinking of Krishna's interests. He was not thinking of his own interests in making this decision, in handling this proposal of his father. He thought, if I accept my father's proposal to take old age prematurely and give him my youth, this will delay my engagement fully in the devotional service of the Lord. Yadu had a plan for his life that I'll go through the Grihastha system, Vanaprastha, then take sannyas. When one is young, there are so many powerful desires we have to deal with. We spoke 2 days ago about, according to scientists, when a man, young man, reaches the age of 22, he's at the peak of his hormone cycle, and he's a blazing volcano. So, Yadu was thinking like that. I want to deal with this and then be able to become renounced. But just think what will happen. Now I'm young. I haven't yet coped with my material desires. If I prematurely accept my father's old age, I know in the future my father is going to give me my youth back. But that means I have to go through the whole scene again of dealing with my material desires. I don't want to do that. It'll delay my full engagement in the Lord's service. I'm young now, and then I'm going to become old, and I'm going to become young again and become old again. This is really going to put off my smooth path to full devotional service. I'm young now. Let me deal with that now. Let me deal with my desires according to the Varnashram system now, and then I'll accept old age, and I'll be able to fully engage in the Lord's service. There was a further point, though, to Yadu's refusal. Yadu knew that in his family line, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, would appear. So therefore, the most powerful reason for Yadu's refusal was that if I delay my productive years by prematurely becoming old right now, that will delay Krishna's appearance in this world. Because I'm young now, then I'll take my father's old age. I know he'll give me my youth back, but that'll be way down the road. That means far into the future, I'll be able to have a family. That means far into the future, Krishna appears. It'll put off Krishna's appearance. Therefore, I want to deal with my youth now, have a family now, so that the dynasties can be underway for Krishna's appearance. So Yadu was solely thinking of the devotional service of the Lord in handling the proposal of his father. Because Yadu is a Vaishnav in full spiritual consciousness, he's able to think soberly with a cool head. What would you do in that situation? Yayati, the father, was pleading with his sons, "Let me just enjoy a few years longer, please. I haven't fulfilled my desires." Shamelessly, Yayati asked his sons, "Give me your youth for my old age." This is what lust does to us. It causes us to do the craziest things. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. When one becomes mad, that means you consider sense gratification to be the goal of life. It's yadindriya pritya. It's so dear to you. You become mad in this way. Yayati, maddened by lust, asked his own sons he presented such a proposition to his sons without any hesitation. Yadu refused based on pure devotional reasons. The other two other sons, they refused simply based on material reasons. They thought, the Shastra says, that their youth would be eternal. Why should they give up youth? Just like so many of us could not imagine what it's like to be old, that we would get old. Sitting here in this same temple room where I was more than 30 years ago, 1975, 76, 77, remembering Sundar Artik with 100 devotees in the temple room, Banabhatra Prabhu leading Sundar Artik. 32, 33 years ago. We were all young and full of energy. Yes, by hearing from the Shastra, we knew old age would come. But still, there's no doubt. Youth brings with it the illusion that it's always going to be like this. You just can't imagine something else. The two middle sons of Hiati were completely like that. They didn't have any spiritual backing to their decision whatsoever. No way are we giving up youth. The precious gift that'll be forever with us. How can we give up our youth? This is materialism. And they're known as being irreligious because they refuse the order of their father just on material grounds. Yadu refused the order of his father, but his reasons were purely devotional. Just like the four Kumaras refused Lord Brahma. But the two middle sons of Yati, in denying the proposition of their father, had no spiritual reason. They're just looking out for their own sense gratification. Of course, people today would approve of what the middle sons did. Yeah, forget your father. I mean, come on. He had his chance. Now it's your chance. You've got to be able to follow your passions. You even hear high school kids talking like that these days. It's like the cool thing to do. Follow your passions wherever they lead. It's okay. So people today would approve of the middle sons of Yati. You've got to look out for yourself. Then Yayati turned to his youngest son, Puru, and asked him. And what was Puru's response? I'm sorry that you had to ask me. If I actually were a first-class son, I would have anticipated your request and acted on it before you even had to ask me. But the fact that you had to ask me means I'm second class. And Puru accepted his father's proposal. That means, just as you heard yesterday, that Jara, the daughter of time, was once pleased with the great king. And because the king accepted her, she granted him a benediction. So Puru received the kingdom of his father in gratitude. Yati was so grateful. My youngest boy has accepted. He gave him the kingdom also. But as Prabhupada points out in the purport, that although Puru attained his father's kingdom, he could not enjoy all the opulence, for he had sacrificed his youth. There's always some irony, some paradox in material existence. Just when you get what you may want, you can't utilize it. Just when you finally attain your heart's desire, you realize, I don't really like that. I didn't really want that anyway. There's always situations going on like that in which your heart is never satisfied. Certainly when you embrace jara, old age, how can you be satisfied? Now you may think, who is going to embrace jara? Who is going to embrace the daughter of time? Today's purport, we find out that by embracing sense gratification, you are indeed embracing time and old age. This is real education. There's nothing innocent about engagement in material activities. There's nothing innocent about trying to please our senses. What we're actually doing is embracing old age. We're accepting the proposals of jara. We have to train ourselves to see in that way. Otherwise, we accept so much materialistic propaganda because it's in the environment that I'm just pleasing my senses. What's so really bad with that? Everyone's doing like that. But if you train your intelligence how to handle the proposals of time, you can keep your spiritual life intact, and you'll be evergreen, ever fresh spiritually, even though the body of a devotee ages. What's an example of another tough situation when you're caught between a rock and a hard place? A devotee knows how to handle these situations. A non-devotee is totally bewildered, turns to intoxication, even commits suicide. But a devotee knows how to handle the complexities of life, cruise through them, powered by the holy name and the association of devotees. King Riga had a very difficult situation. He told his story to Krishna. You know how the sons of Krishna, great princes like Samba, were outside Dwarka in the forest on a long picnic, and they became thirsty. So they looked for some water. They saw a well. They looked down the well in order to get some water. And at the bottom of the well, instead of water, they saw a huge lizard. They tried to get the lizard out, but they were unable. So they went back to Dwarka and told Krishna. And Krishna, acting as always the friend of all living entities, personally came to the well and retrieved or enabled the great lizard to come out. And just by the touch of Krishna, the great lizard assumed the form of a demigod. Krishna asked, "What is this? You're looking as a resplendent demigod. You were a lizard, a great lizard before. How did you happen to take such a lizard's body?" Obviously, Krishna knew, but he's asking these questions for the benefit of his associates. So the lizard replies, Niga, who used to be a lizard, he replies that if you ever heard about pious activities, good karma, punya, you must have heard my name. In other words, I did so much good karma. I know you know this, Krishna, because you know everything, but I'm replying to your question since you asked. So Niga began to explain how much charity he would give. Profuse charity to all the brahmanas. Not simply cows, but wealth, girls to marry, jewels. But as you know, he made a slight mistake. He gave one brahmana a cow that he had already given to another brahmana. Because he had so many cows, there's a slight mistake. The brahmanas brought it to his attention, and they were very angry. Nirga pleaded with them, "Look, forget about this one cow that we have a problem with. I'll give you 100,000 cows." No, each of the two brahmanas claimed, "This cow is mine." Nirga knew what this meant. He would have to incur the sinful reaction for taking a brahmana's property and giving it to someone else. Things happen in this world. It's a very the situation illustrates the tight spots that come upon us all. In spite of our great hopes, life is full of tight spots, difficult situations. So, upon Nirga's death, he went to the kingdom of Yamaraj. Yamaraj only sees sinful living entities. What's he doing seeing Nirga? Well, Nirga had this big mark against him of usurping a brahmana's property, even though the situation was unintended. So Yamaraj asked him a question, and you think about how you would answer this question. Yamaraj asked him, "What do you want? Do you want to enjoy the results of all the pious activities you've done? Or is it that first you want to suffer the results of your impious activities?" Yamaraj gave him the hint. You have done so many pious activities. Who can say when your material enjoyment will come to an end? I can't say that, when it will end. Remember, Yamaraj is also known as Bhagavan. Such a powerful personality doing service on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Yet and still, Yamaraj says, I can't see when the good reactions to your pious activities, when they're going to end. So anyway, what do you want first? To enjoy the good reactions or to suffer the bad reactions from whatever impious activities you've done? Nigga was not cool-headed. He was not sober. He became bewildered. Prabhupada explains his mentality. Well, in other words, he's thinking, I'm really attached to material enjoyment. The best thing would be to get the bad times out of the way, then I can enjoy free without any impediment. So, yeah, I'll take the impious reactions first, get those out of the way, and then there'll be full-on enjoyment. It was the wrong move. He didn't hear Yamaraj's hint. Yamaraj was hinting to him, take the pious reactions first. You'll never see the end to it because you've done so much charity. You've done so many good things. There's just this little discrepancy which you have to take reactions for by usurping the property of a brahmana, even though it was unintended. Please understand, Nirga made the wrong decision. He was bewildered. He didn't have a cool head because he was not a full Krishna bhakta. His consciousness was absorbed in good karmic activities with a little bit of bhakti here and there. Because of a little bit of bhakti, he had a desire to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why, even though he was cursed to be a lizard, he remembered his desire to see the Supreme Lord, and the Lord came. If you want to know a technical detail, which is not necessary to know, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is full of technical details. What did Nriga do, actually, that brought about his ability to have a desire to see the Supreme Lord? Amidst all his punya, amidst all his good karma activities of giving charity, he once helped a brahmana to worship the deity, and he once helped a brahmana have shastras for studying about the Lord, and therefore the brahmana blessed him that you will be able to one day see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, somehow or other, Nigga got the benefit from a Sankirtan devotee. Yes, this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. He, in one instance, he wasn't simply doing good karma. He came across a brahmana whom he helped directly serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of deity worship and the shastra. And therefore, that brahmana blessed him with the ability to have a desire one day to see the Lord. So in spite of Niga's wrong decision, because of that desire to see the Lord, he maintained his memory as a lizard, and indeed Krishna came to rescue him. Still, today we should meditate on the fact that Nriga made the wrong decision. He wasn't cool-headed. We should think, how are we going to handle the tight spots in life? How are we going to be equipped with the necessary skills for making proper decisions even when times are difficult? This is the great benefit of a Krishna conscious education. Narada Muni, look what he has to deal with. He's a Nastika Brahmachari, traveling the universe free as can be, glorifying Krishna, and he's approached by this lusty girl. She knew he's an avowed brahmachari. She didn't care. How is Narada Muni going to handle it? Of course, he refuses her proposal. But he's also merciful. He's going to arrange that she can focus on someone else. With great spiritual intelligence, he handles the situation. And he eventually arranges a situation for Jara so that she can actually do some good along with her partner. Narada Muni arranges, that old age serves the purpose of making people afraid that I'm wasting my life. I don't know who I am, what's going to happen, and now I'm old. Is there some higher level of living? Is there some higher knowledge I'm missing? That's the positive purpose of old age. Of course, people today are so crazy, they don't care even about this good purpose served by old age. The reaction nowadays is, who cares? I'm old. Still, let me enjoy. I know in Australia and New Zealand, I don't know about the USA, but in Australia and New Zealand, the government provides counseling for old people how to engage in lusty affairs in their 70s and 80s. And people consider, this is great. This is what a government should be doing. This is advanced life. I was flying back from India to Australia, and seated next to me was an engineer who had just been the chief engineer for building part of the Delhi subway system, the new subway system in Delhi. He's a big man. And so he was pouring out his life story to me, how he was 48. He had just gotten married again for the second time a year ago, and he was shaking his head, it's not going to work. She just doesn't do it for me. We've only been married a year. It's my second marriage. I'm 48. But, I mean, she just doesn't turn the switch for me. He looked at me like, you understand, right? I go, well. And then he felt inspired to really explain things from his early life to me, and in the midst of that, he said, you know, one thing happened 2 months ago when I was last in the USA visiting my parents. You know, they're in their late 70s. At home, I happened to, you know, walk through their room, and they were, and I just was so happy. I just broke out crying to know that my father and mother are 78, 79, and still there. Oh, it was so wonderful. I'll tell you, I was like completely embarrassed. He was telling me this proudly. Like, isn't civilization great? Isn't this world great? So, yes. As you'll hear Prabhupada point out in the purports that come in the coming days, Jara, old age, has this positive purpose of instilling fear in people that I'm losing it. I don't know what my future will be. I've got to figure out what is the purpose of life. But a crazy person will totally ignore the positive presentation of old age and just think, let me enjoy. It doesn't matter how old I am. This is how people are being trained today. Right now, at one university in New Zealand, they want to be the cutting edge. So they have devised a new course, a university major. It's called Feminine Relations. Now, what does this mean? You might think it's some kind of woman's liberation thing, some kind of feminism. No. The feminine relations course of study, I mean, 3 years to get your BA in this, is for night workers for prostitutes. They now can go to university and get a degree in how to be such. They're trained in, you know, anatomy and psychology and this and that. This is civilization as it is today. Nunam pramatakurute vikarma. People have become mad. The process of sense gratification makes you mad. There's nothing innocent about it. We need to meditate upon this point again and again. Narada Muni completely and expertly handled the situation in such a tactful way. No thanks, but I got someone else for you. Reminds me of a story one Prabhupada disciple told me. He said that Prabhupada was doing his translating at night. I think this is in Los Angeles. And one female disciple kept knocking on his door at 1 o'clock in the morning, pouring out her heart to Prabhupada and kept doing that. So finally, Prabhupada called this devotee and said, he explained the situation, and Prabhupada asked the devotee, "Will you marry her, please?" And the devotee said, "Prabhupada, I'll do anything for you." The devotee did it. It turned out to be a hellish marriage. In fact, the devotee was telling me there was a Sunday feast program right here on Watsika Avenue, and the early 70s, and the lady he married was like really feisty and fiery, and she got angry at him, and right during the Sunday feast program, he's leading kirtan, she comes and rips his dhoti off, and he starts chasing her, and then anyway, it was a big mess. So he described he's running through the crowds of people at the Sunday feast. He's just a kirtan, and she's screaming at him, chasing him. Anyway, he goes to see Prabhupada, and he says, "Prabhupada, I did this just for you." Prabhupada says, "I know. Thank you very much." The true story. So, as an example of a faithful son of Srila Prabhupada who just did something to satisfy his guru. What ordinarily would be a very difficult situation, somehow or other he survived because he didn't do it for any motive of his own. Life is full of surprises. Don't expect that you won't have situations which will test your powers of discrimination, test your balance, your equipoise. How are you going to handle that? The bhakti process equips us with the ability to deal with any situation. That's why we need the association of devotees. We need the strong sadhana, because then we'll have the clear intelligence to handle the inevitable tight spots that material life is full of. And Narada Muni shows you how expertly he dealt with the situation. You could say, why? What is Narada Muni being bothered by such a situation? He's traveling from Brahmalok around the universe. Why does he have to be bothered by such difficult propositions, difficult for any ordinary person? That's the way of life. But Narada Muni is glorified for the way, the expert way he handled the situation. Just like Yadu, the son of Yayati, who didn't accept his father's proposal because of devotional reasons, he's also glorified. There's a way how to deal with everything. There's a way how to have spiritual intelligence and use it. That is what the process of bhakti yoga gives us. So we should remember that and not have a fairy tale conception of life. In fact, attachment to the senses gives you these fairy tale dreams. It's all going to work out. I can handle anything that comes my way. Without spiritual intelligence, we can't survive, materially or spiritually. Therefore, a humble devotee recognizes, I have no good qualities. I have no intelligence of my own. I'm completely dependent on Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Just like Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita, he begs, may the saints grant me the stick of their mercy so I can hold on to, support myself by the stick of their mercy. The more one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more one realizes I'm so dependent on Krishna's mercy and the association of devotees. We'll stop here and ask any questions.
The purpose? Why are young people taking prematurely?
Those who are too much sexually addicted become victims of jara, old age, and very soon their lifespan is shortened. Therefore, I explain, the embracing of sense gratification means you're embracing old age. You can see the two as the same. You save yourself a lot of trouble. Yes. Pancharatna Prabhu.
You talked about how devotees use spiritual intelligence. Sometimes we see devotees do stupid things. So sometimes they appear to be quite senior in our process, and yet they do some things that generally in hindsight turn out to be quite unintelligent. Is this because of a lack of spiritual development, a lack of intelligence in general, or some other laziness in not applying themselves with intelligence?
It could be due to spiritual weakness. It also could be due to pride in not taking advice of one's peers. A devotee can think, I've been around for 20, 30, 40 years. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to ask anyone else. Who are they anyway? And by not consulting others, you cut yourself off from the great wealth of experience and spiritual inspiration in Prabhupada's movement. Just by thinking, I don't have to, why should I consult? Why should I hear someone else's opinion? What does he know? It can be like that. It's not so much how many years you've been around, it's how you've utilized those years. So especially devotees who have, throughout the years, developed deep spiritual relationships with other devotees, they don't have a problem asking, what do you think about this? Let me run a situation by you. What's your angle on it? And that really saves a devotee from countless embarrassments. Just the ability to ask for feedback, the ability to ask someone else's perception on things. But if you don't have any proper relations with devotees, if you don't have any proper relations with peers, how are you going to do that? You become isolated. And then when you're isolated, everything looks your way. It looks pretty good because it's your way. If you're a very, very advanced devotee, yoga maya can bewilder you. You may do something that ordinarily you wouldn't do. Prabhupada gave himself as an example of that. I saw directly his words explaining about how he entered into the Juhu project. He said, ordinarily, I would have never done this. Ordinarily, I would have seen that Mr. Nair was a cheater, but Krishna covered me over, so I would go on with the deal. So there's a very high-level example. It's certainly not stupidity. It's just Prabhupada saying, by my own intelligence, I would have never done this deal. I would have seen he was a cheater, but Krishna covered me, so I would go ahead anyway. Just I throw that in there for your meditation due to your many years in India of seva. Yes, Architabra.
Hi, thank you for your nice counsel, nice class. The example here used of good spiritual intelligence, Narada Muni and his encounter with Jara, how he diverted her. And we've seen that elsewhere in the pastime of Lord Ram coming up with, you know, Suparnika, diverted attention. But nowadays people are so crazy, as you pointed out. You can't divert them, especially in this area of attraction. When somebody's attracted to somebody else, sometimes unwantedly so, you don't seem to be able to divert them.
Right.
So what do you do in those cases?
You've got to run. I'll give you a Sankirtan example. It just happened to one brahmachari in New Zealand. He's doing door-to-door, distributing Prabhupada's books. So he knocks on one door, and you know, like a 21-year-old girl answers, and she's all made up and just looks, you know, she's like ready for a Friday night. And so, he's staunch. So he starts presenting the book to her. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, spiritual encyclopedia, and then he notices that she's a kind of she's kind of itchy. Like there's some kind of ant underneath her clothes or something. You know, she couldn't keep still. So then he realized, maybe I better be quite honest with this conditioned soul. He began to explain. And by the way, let me explain that I'm one of a group of traveling monks, and we're just traveling from town to town distributing spiritual knowledge. You know what a monk is, right? He said, oh, what's a monk? He said, a monk is one who has taken a vow of celibacy. So then she looked at him and said, well, why don't you step inside so I can help you break that vow? So I had to give the instruction to the brahmacharis that when you come, you're doing door-to-door, and you come to that kind of situation, just say, excuse me, wrong door, and just take off. It's the only thing you can do these days. He tried to be polite, you know, try to explain, and just, vows of celibacy, come on in. I'll help you break those vows. That's the way it is these days. There's only one solution. You got to run. All right. Thank you very much. Glory to Prabhupada.